Hello, welcome back to Dive In, the radio ministry of Deeper Life Fellowship in Mobile, Alabama. I'm Pastor Mark Wyatt, and I'm really glad you've joined us today. We are in the second part now of a discussion of living in the Tree of Life. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says there were two trees in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And what we're finding is those two trees are still available for us today in a spiritual sense. So let's listen now to Living in the Tree of Life.
What we have here is a tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, here's what's interesting about Satan's temptation to Eve. Listen, when Satan tempted her to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was not appealing to her rebellious side. He did not appeal to her sense of adventure and disobedience and rebellion. What did he do? He said, hey, you know what? As soon as you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you're going to be just like God. You see what he did? To get her, watch, to get her to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan appealed to her desire to be godly. He was appealing to her godly desires to be like God. Now, what is the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Here it is. It's just that. These trees represent, when you eat the fruit, what do you do when you eat something? You're taking something that is outside of yourself and you consume it. You are bringing it into yourself, and then it begins to change you. Because why? You are what you eat, right? And so if you are what you eat then begins to change you. We took a night to go on a little road trip with our kids a couple days ago, and we went up to Auburn, where I went to school, and came back through Eclectic, Alabama. You all been to Eclectic? There's a little cafe in Eclectic. Listen, the whole city is about as big as this building. There's a cross street right there. And right here is Meemaw's Cafe. And Meemaw's is the, and that's Country Kitchen. But it is just, I mean, it is country cooking. It is just pretty much, you know, chicken-shaped lard. And you know, and then the okra is a little, yeah, the catfish. And then the okra is like little nuggets of lard that are green. But anyway, I mean, it is country cooking. But it's the grease that makes it good, see? It's the bacon grease, geez, it gives it flavor. And so our kids didn't know what to do because they live out of cereal boxes. And so, you know, when they get this country cooking, it was foreign to them. So they got like a roll and macaroni and cheese. I recognize that. But the thing is, we ate, man, it was buffet style, which is a mistake. It's always a mistake with country cooking. So, but it was buffet style. So we go in, man, and we were hungry. And look, so we get this plate of fried catfish and fried chicken and fried okra. And, you know, I didn't have any salad because I'm trying to watch what I eat, trying to cut down on some things. So, but, you know, you get the cornbread and the hush puppies and all this stuff, right? And corn. And man, it was good. You know what? I really enjoyed it for about an hour. An hour later, I felt like I had swallowed a boulder. I mean, my stomach was like a rock. It was just sitting heavy in me. Listen, what you eat changes you. Okay, it changed me for a day. Now, here's the interesting thing. When you eat things that are eternal, it changes you eternally. When you eat things that are spiritual, it changes you spiritually. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked in 2 weeks in a row about having a biblical worldview and how we are not to be afraid of knowing what the world thinks and knowing what the world is listening to. We can't be afraid of the world's views, but you don't have to eat it. See? You can know it, you can learn it, but you don't have to consume it and take it into yourself and digest it and let it become a part of you. See, that's the difference. Now, you know, I can read I read Goodnight Moon, but I don't consume it. Now, I can read it, but there are other things, though, that I read and I'll consume. It becomes a part of me. It changes my view. Here's the thing. When you take something that is outside of you and you bring it within you, you are consuming that, and it begins to change you. And this is why the crowd left. 6,000 people walked away from Jesus when he turned around and said to them, listen, you want to follow me? You know what you got to do? You have to eat my flesh. You have to consume me. We have to be in a covenant relationship where you take me inside of you and you consume who I am and you bring me into you. And you know what? 6,000 people turned around and left. And Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, "So, is that too much for you guys too? Y'all going to leave too?" And Peter said this. He said, "Where are we going to go? Only you have the words of life." Peter knew that when we receive Jesus into ourselves, when we consume Him, it brings us life. So the tree of life then is this, Jesus Himself. Jesus is represented by the tree of life. Okay? Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is just that. It is the knowledge of good and evil. It is the knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Now, guys, here's the premise basically of this message today. I believe we have lived too much of our lives as believers and as churches thinking we were pleasing God by living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But guys, I have news for you. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil always brings one result. What is it? Death. It always brings death. Anytime you eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will surely die. That fruit produces one thing. It produces death. And that's all it's ever going to produce. The tree of life, though, produces life. You know, that's why God said, "Okay, angels, listen up. They have eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We got to get them out of the garden before they eat from the tree of life." Why? Because the tree of life is going to give them eternal life, and I don't want them to live forever in the state they're in. I got to fix the state they're in. Then I can give them new eternal life. They got to have new life. But I don't want them living forever like they are right now, full of sin. So, eating from the tree of life brings you eternal life. See? So that's why God put an angel around the tree and at the gate of the garden and said, "You can't come in. We got to fix this thing." So God allowed sin to enter the world. Why? So that He could deal with it once and for all, so that it would never again be a possibility of entering into creation. So, we go down the long road to where we are now. But today, we still have a choice. And what we choose today is we choose as believers to either eat from the tree of life or eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, here's why this makes a difference. Because when you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when you have knowledge, you know knowledge changes the way you see things. Knowledge changes the way you see things. I have a friend of mine who's a worship leader in Texas. And we were good friends there, and he was a worship leader at a different church. And you know, and I love worship music. I love concerts, just love going. Now, I'm not a musician. He is. And we can go to a concert, and man, we could leave, and I'd say, "Oh," his name is Brad. I said, "Brad, wasn't that great? Man, I love that. That was such a great concert. Man, what didn't you love that song they did? It was so cool. It was hopping. Man, it was fun." And Brad could have been cringing the whole time. And we leave, he'll say, "Oh, it was terrible." I said, "But what? Why?" He said, "That guitarist's A string was sharp. Oh." However, if we go hear somebody preach, though, honestly, we could leave and Brad would say, "Oh, man, that was one of the greatest messages I've ever heard." And I'd say, "Yeah, but..." Now, can I tell you, you don't ever want to... Don't be a yebit. The yebits are the people who are always saying, "Yeah, but..." Now, I could say, "Yeah, but, you know, I would have used this scripture here, and I might have put that point in differently, and there's a good illustration, and, you know, we used too many of these illustrations. I've heard that one so many times, I know..." See, the knowledge of how to preach, you know, this kind of whatever. Knowledge changes the way you see things. I remember when we got pregnant with our first child, Samuel, and we were so anxious. We had waited 7 years, you know, to have a child and didn't think we could. And boy, God gave us the baby. We were so excited. So the first possible moment, we go to the doctor to get the sonogram thing. And the sonographer comes in, and I'm watching the monitor, you know, and she puts gel on there and moving this thing around. And all I'm seeing is black and gray blobs. That's it. And she says, "Oh, there it is." "What?" "Well, look, there's his head. I can't see a thing." I'm thinking she's making it up just to make us feel better. I don't know what she's looking at, but she's trying to find... I could not see this thing. I wanted to see my baby, and I could not see a baby. But she said, "Look, there's his arm buds, and there's his leg buds." So we called him Bud for a long time. So that's all we knew. So, but she said, "Look, there it is." Now, as we continued to go to the doctor and we got another sonogram, I could see a little bit more. Let me tell you something. 4 kids later, if you call me if you're pregnant, I can read that thing for you. I'll do it for you. I mean, I just got a little fish finder, but I'll do it. It's just a little bass boat radar, but we can do it. The thing is, what happened, I began then to get educated. I began to see what she was seeing. And so by the time Autumn's coming along, she doesn't even get the same thing. She just started thinking, oh, okay, there's her head and there's her eyes. I see a little nose. There's her mouth and feet. And we can see those things because knowledge changes the way you see things. Guys, this is what's brought us death, though, in the church. We get some knowledge about good and evil from the law. Now, again, not just the Ten Commandments, from all the books of the law. And we get knowledge and we say, okay, God says do this and don't do that. And we have knowledge of good and knowledge of evil. And we think that if we have knowledge of good and evil, that's going to be godly enough. And that's how we get close to the Lord. And that's how we have fellowship with Him. And if we just live according to good and evil, God's going to be pleased with us. But guys, the bad news is this. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil always produces one thing. It's death. So just knowing good from evil does not help you. That doesn't bring you life in the Lord. It just doesn't. It never will, guys. It's not going to. So what do we got to do? We got to get out of that tree. You know, listen, I built a house in that tree. I mean, I had a good tree fort in that tree of knowledge of good and evil. I knew this. I had studied the good and the bad, the law, do this, don't do that. I knew what to do. It didn't make me any nicer to be around. You know what it did? It just made me mean. See, I mean, it was ammo for me. There's no end to it. And it just makes you mean because it makes you a law watcher. And it makes you, listen, here's what we call legalistic. That's what legalism is. It's a strict adherence to the law that says the law brings life. But guys, the Bible says the law does not bring life. In fact, we're going to look at the mirror of Genesis 3 is Galatians 3. In a few minutes, we're going to look at that. And in Galatians 3, Paul is very clear about the fact that the law was simply a governor for us. It was, in fact, I love the way New Living Translation says it. It says that the law was simply to keep us in protective custody until we could be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We were in protective custody, but that was it. Now, see, that's not, how many of you know protective custody is not freedom? I've seen enough movies about the witness protection program to know protective custody and freedom are not the same thing. And so the law doesn't bring freedom. It doesn't bring life. It just protects you from death until you can get life. Okay? But what we do is we take the law, we know what's good and we know what's bad, and so we say, we camp out in that tree and we say, all right, we're going to live by what's good. I'm going to do what's good. I'm not going to do what's bad. And if I do enough good and I don't do enough bad, then God will be happy with me. And Paul says in Galatians 3, what are you doing? That's why Paul starts Galatians 3 by saying, you foolish Galatians, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by grace or by doing what's good and not doing what's bad? And they said, well, obviously we got saved by grace. He said, okay, if you began in the Spirit, what makes you think now you're going to be perfected in the flesh? If you started right, listen, you go on the way you come on. If you came on in grace, what makes you think you're going to succeed in this thing in the flesh? By doing works. It's not about works. Okay, it's not about how much good you do or how much bad you don't do. But guys, here's the problem though. Too often, and you know where I see this most? I see this in our relationship with our children. We tend to evaluate and measure one another and one another's goodness based on our behavior. Now, God knows this. That's why He doesn't treat us like that. God knows it's not about behavior. He knows it's about passion. It's about intimacy with Him. It's about a life-giving relationship with Him.
And of course, we know that as we pursue that life-giving, vibrant relationship with Christ, our response is to live more godly and more pure than ever before. But it becomes a source of joy and satisfaction to us, not a burden. I hope that this study on how to live in the tree of life is proving helpful to you, but we're not finished yet. There's more to come as we see how living from the tree of life affects everything in our lives, from the depth of our relationship with God to the way we relate to our families, our friends, and everyone around us. As always, if you'd like to know more about the ministry of Deeper Life Fellowship, you can visit our website at deeperlifefellowship.com or dlfmobile.com. Again, that's deeperlifefellowship.com or dlfmobile.com. You can even drop us a note by email while you're there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Dive In.